Hey everybody, welcome to The Geek Generation. I am your host, Rob Logan, with a quick second episode for you guys this week. My guest today is the host of What's Trending and digital trailblazer, Shira Lazar. This Thursday, December 11th, from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, that is 10 to midnight Eastern Time, is the third annual Tubathon. This will be a variety show featuring stars from YouTube and social media and television, so make sure you check it out at whatstrending.com/tubathon. You can get involved with the show too, and for a good cause, because for every user that tweets the hashtag Tubathon or Go Further, What's Trending will donate $1 to Covenant House, a nonprofit charity serving homeless youth with a network of shelters across the Americas. Before we get into the interview itself, just a quick reminder that the holidays are upon us, and if you are going to be doing your shopping online, especially on Amazon, please get to the site by going to thegeekgeneration.com/Amazon. Doing so will allow us a small monetary kickback from the site with no additional cost to you every time you shop on Amazon. Again, that's thegeekgeneration.com/Amazon. That helps support us and keep the show free for you, and we appreciate you doing so. Now here is my interview with Shira Lazar. The event that we're talking about is the third annual Tubathon.
Yeah.
Which is happening this Thursday night from
7 to 9 p.m. Pacific. Yeah, and if you're on the East Coast, that is 10 to midnight.
Yep.
So for everyone who's done work, you know, the entertainment while they're online doing other things, work and social media, tweeting and Facebooking and status updating. And we are encouraging people with hashtag Go Further, hashtag Tubathon, will be donating $1 for hashtag to Covenant House, which helps homeless youth. And so it's a live fundraiser charity that's for the modern digital age, kind of like the, you know, telethons that we all used to watch back in the day that includes comedy, music, personalities, and interaction. It used to happen with the phone bank, and now we're doing it through social media. We have our tweet thing.
So you're kind of the Jerry Lewis of the online age.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of comparisons, but yeah, I mean, we, as the kind of digital broadcasters and content creators, we're inspired by the shows and formats from the past, but then, you know, it's all about figuring out how to reinvent them for now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've had fun the past 3 years building this and doing it every year as a way to bring the community together for a good cause and to celebrate the holidays.
Is that why you chose this specific time of year, because of the holidays?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's the end of the year. It's also a way, you know, to bring people together to entertain, but then, you know, give back in a time of need. I mean, every day is a time of need, obviously,
sure,
in the day and age and in the world. There's always something to give back to. But yeah, I mean, it's just good timing. And if, you know, holidays are a way to bring people together around a common goal and cause. And so it just all kind of aligned in terms of what we wanted to build as a fun live event and show, as well as something that has social good impact.
Now, I saw some of the videos leading up to this, and there's a lot of promotion going out in the YouTube community and everything. And one of the videos I saw you do recently was with a past guest that we had, Tony Horton. We spoke to him this summer.
Oh, awesome.
And you've been doing the P90 workouts, correct?
Yeah, I was part of the P90 program for 3 months. And so I'm an alumni, and Tony and Beachbody, that whole team, they're awesome. And so when we are putting this whole thing together and doing this 12 days of Tubathon, having really fun collaborations with other creators and personalities on our YouTube channel, getting them involved and getting people excited for the event. You know, I, of course, because of the holidays and, you know, with eating and indulgence, I thought of Tony and just doing a fun workout. We created a Santa Says workout for us in 6 minutes, 6 minutes. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah,
he's awesome, and it's really cool. Like, after being part of the P90 workout and health program, you become part of this family, so it's really cool.
What's been the hardest part about kind of undertaking that journey, those 90 days for you?
Well, 90 days in general, no drinking.
Yeah.
That was difficult, not to say like I'm a huge lush, but I enjoy my end-of-day cocktail. And that was really hard to cut that out. And then also, you know, we were on a meal program. You know, a lot of working on being healthy isn't just, it's a workout routine, it's also eating healthy. That's how you lose weight, right?
Right, right. Sort
of everything. But it was also maintaining the workouts every day. You know, some days I'm working at a startup, so I'm leaving, you know, at 7 a.m. and coming back at 11 p.m. When am I going to work out? You know, even if it's easy, and this is, you know, a program for people on the go,
mm-hmm.
but even taking 45 minutes an hour, you're tired at the end, but you know, I had to really stay committed, and I was with a group with other YouTubers. We all were really dedicated to working together and kind of pushing each other. So it was a mixture of like, it becomes another job working out, like when you really commit to it. And that, you know, while I felt more energized and alert and focused, it was also definitely a challenge, like a mental and physical challenge to get through that. And you know, yeah, I mean, you're not allowed drinking. People feel like you can indulge the way you want to, and you realize socializing, there's so much around that.
Sure.
So change of lifestyle.
And you have like so many projects going on all the time too. How do you not just figure in the working out, but how do you really manage and maintain all the time that you have and make sure you get everything done that you need to?
I don't stop. It's a lot of lists. I'm obsessed with lists. I just write down lists and just check them off, and I don't spend too much time worrying about how I'm going to execute, you know, and overthink each one. It's about just continuing to move the ball forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the ball's moving forward, you tweak and you perfect. But if you spend days or weeks, you know, and then some projects deserve that attention, and you want to, you know, put your best foot forward when you're pitching something or moving forward on something. But sometimes it's just about continuing the back and forth responses between people, communication. Ideas, you have to keep moving them forward, keep the momentum. So definitely listen. And when I think of something that I forgot, I right away do it, or at least I write it down to remind myself, because, you know, you're not going to do things. There's always going to be other priorities, and there'll always be things that are second priority, but it's about just like answering and doing things right as they happen.
Sure. Now, as you create all these projects, you actually end up hosting a lot of them yourself. Is hosting something you always kind of had an eye on, or did you get to that after pursuing a different avenue?
Yeah, I was always into broadcasting and interviewing people. That was kind of how I got my start in performing when I was younger. But I came out to LA, yeah, to host and to interview people and do that, because I wasn't getting the opportunities necessarily to be on TV. I started working for companies online, and I kind of picked up the entrepreneurial spirit in many ways, and really came to like the way startup culture works and working with founders on telling better stories and connecting them to celebrities and new influencers. And that all I was able to do because I was also interviewing them and developing these other relationships on the other end of telling their story.
Sure.
So it just, my job as an interviewer allowed me to build those relationships, which then would help in a more entrepreneurial way as I'm building my own company and also helping other people build theirs or other brands that we're working with, these cool things. But all is connected.
Sure. And the online landscape has changed so much. How do things look now compared to when you started working online?
Oh, it's completely different. I mean, YouTube wasn't around.
Right.
We didn't have Twitter. Like, I was around back then. And so, you know, there'd be quicksand videos and things didn't load or buffer. And there wasn't as much of an appetite or community for things.
Mm-hmm.
Although people had their eye out and they thought it was cool that there was content created. And, you know, the budgets weren't put forth to online. It was kind of like the doctor child, the second priority of any sort of company, brands, or marketing strategy. And, you know, they expected it because it was the internet or digital. They didn't need to, like, give it that quality or attention.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, oh, just, like, you know, you could shoot it with this camera. Like, you don't need to edit it. We just, like, post it. And now it's like, no, it's, you know, quality makes goes a long way. And now this day and age, like, while content creators are having, you know, winning the landscape compared to necessarily huge brands, it's still now, it's a level playing field. So it's a democratic space, but then it's, you're also now legitimately playing and posting against, you know, huge companies and properties that might have much more money, many more employees, but you still need to raise the bar yourself, even if you're a team of five.
Right, right.
So it's an interesting, it's an exciting time, but it's also interesting. I think it'll be crazy to see what happens in the next year in terms of, now that the big YouTube networks are bought out, mm-hmm. where does it leave the others, and how are we all going to play together?
Do you think we're getting close to a point where the online media is starting to overtake television, and if we're going to see that really, really happen within the next few years?
I definitely think audiences are more engaged, and we see properties have bigger audiences than what we're seeing on TV. So yeah, I think there's still a gap between the budget, the amount of views or attention that's put into an online property. It might be the same as the views that are, you know, being had on a TV property, but if you look at the marketing dollars, they're completely different.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is changing. Definitely, like, I think that in a budget for a marketing campaign or for brands, you know, that budget gap is decreasing, mm-hmm. but there's still definitely more work that needs to be done, because, you know, the expectations have been raised, but yet the money and the marketing has still needs to move and evolve.
How are you seeing the company's reactions to online media now? Because now that they're starting to see the shift too, before and even now, it's still challenging to monetize online content. But are you seeing their attitude and their support shift more towards the online media as well?
Yeah, I think that they're looking it as, like, this is just where the future in terms of viewership is, and building that loyalty needs to start now. It's not about, like, immediate returns. It's about a long-term plan, because in 5 years, this generation and the people that are the biggest consumers who are consuming in digital and on mobile, they're not going to be moving anywhere else. So they need to start putting in that investment now, mm-hmm. in that focus, so that they can grow with that audience as well. So definitely I'm seeing, you know, a shift in terms of, like, priorities and partnerships. I mean, that's why DreamWorks bought Ultimate TV. That's why Disney bought Maker. And it's obvious it's starting, and that's why more, you know, news networks are working even with digital portals. You know, we're going to be launching something with VH1 in January, and traditional companies and brands have realized they can't do it on their own from the inside. Other people have already started to do it, so instead of starting from scratch, might as well collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Or consume those properties, you know, entirely.
Right, right.
So it's built within their own company.
The other component of all that too is the social media, obviously, and you're very active on social media. Do you enjoy that experience, or is social media becoming almost like a necessary evil at this point? We all just have to be there to, in order to get done what we want to get done.
I think it's a mixture. I think we're all empowered by all this, and we wouldn't be doing what we're doing if it wasn't for us. Or, you know, there's so many amazing moments and opportunities that happen because of all these tools. I definitely think, you know, it becomes overwhelming. There's a new app, a new service, yeah. a new this, new that, that launches every day. And you see yourself, well, this could be the next Twitter, this could be the next YouTube. So should I jump on it right away? And it's like, as a creator or as someone that spends enough time and money in these things, you really need to start, you know, having your entrepreneurial instincts come through and say, like, is this worth my time? You know, and then I know there's some social media influencers that are even paid to join these things and start evangelizing them.
Right, right.
But just because, you know, a few people start posting a few times, like, doesn't mean there's going to be a loyalty or commitment to it. And a lot of the big networks that we use today and platforms, they've built that way, not because of, like, a one-off usage. They became a consistent place, and it was a place that people wanted to be, even if though they weren't being paid. You know, it had the authenticity. So some people kind of forget about that. But, you know, it's a double-edged sword.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's such a huge time commitment. And then it's almost like that's the job now.
Oh, yeah, that is the job. You know, there are careers that haven't even been around a year ago that now our job. And that's why you need a, like, while I love doing social and it's part of who I am and part of my life in general, you know, whether I'm on work hours, quote unquote, or not, I still can't necessarily be online all the time on top of it. You need it.
Sure.
You know, you need to have a staff, you need to have a team. You just also need to love doing it, not like a job. At least you're going to go for your personal brand, yourself. But there's also only so much time in the day. And there's the aspect of just being in the moment with someone and not necessarily at every picking up your phone or quoting your conversation or like vlogging.
Yeah. I mean, I know personally, I kind of look at social media as almost like, I'm an artist, so I think about them all as different mediums. Like one is painting and one is drawing. And like, I'm not someone who's going to do Vine just because the 6-second medium is not a way that I can be creative with it. But I know when a new social media comes out, like you said, you feel like you need to be a part of it just in case it's the next big thing. So do you get excited when you see something like that, that there's a new way to express yourself, or is the initial instinct like, oh no, here's another thing that I have to hop on just in case?
Yeah, I definitely feel there's that pressure, and because everyone thinks of that thing possibly being the next thing, you need to jump on. So I think it's a balance between your own instinct of like what's worth your time, and then, and you need to be naturally, I think, curious, as a creator to use new platforms and try new things.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you need to keep that alive or else you're going to get used to one platform and the popularity there, and like you're not going to stay up to date to stay on top of it.
Right.
So it's a constant balancing act, but then it's, you know, you don't want to spread yourself too thin, because in the end, it's not just about posting everywhere, but it's about really putting in the effort and focus to telling stories that make sense within that operator and platform. Or else it's going to just feel like you have an automated system that's going everywhere. And that's how you build community.
Right, right. With all the social media and all the projects that you work on, too, you probably have very little time to enjoy things on your own. But we're always curious here what people are watching, TV, movies. What, when you're not creating, what are you consuming?
Oh, I definitely like my Netflix shows. I also randomly, like late night when I have to hunker down my emails, definitely Gordon Ramsay shows. Into that, I'm into like all the MSNBC business shows and Shark Tank.
Yeah, wow.
And then there's randomly Top Model that kind of comes in here and there. But yeah, I mean, like I definitely do these. I don't have like this to TV, but I'll be on, you know, Amazon or Netflix or Hulu on my spare time, and then just doing random stuff. Like I'm always on, I discover a lot of my content through Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah.
So that's also, I'll go down that dark hole and that can take some time.
Yeah. All the news that you're consuming all the time. I know I'm constantly watching my RSS feeds and the social media, see what's out there and reporting on it. Do you feel like there's just no end to the workday because you're constantly trying to keep up with what's coming out and what's new?
Yeah. Specifically when I have big events like this where I'm like organizing something big that I just really need to hunker down and do work for that and focus. But yeah, I feel, you know, it's the pressure as when you have a company to be still providing content day to day, plus thinking about special projects, plus thinking about my personal brand and like what I'm sharing there. And I try it. It doesn't need to be such an effort. It's just hard because you can't be doing everything at once. Like, I can't, you know, if I want to give people time and, like, focus, or else it'll end up being on a podcast like this where I'm like, what can you review for us?
Right.
Like, constantly things coming in, like emails or a text or a Facebook message, whatever. So it's a balancing act, you know?
Yeah. And what do you do to decompress then from all that? I know you, obviously, the working out and everything is probably helping now, but aside from that.
I really enjoy and value my like friendships that are around me, and spending time to go after a nice dinner at the end of the day where you're not on your laptop or phone, but you're like in person with people.
Yeah.
And just like showing out, watching, you know, TV, what you call the TV, the big screen, you know, working out definitely, traveling, just like catching up with friends in person. I think like that becomes like a hobby now.
Sure.
Seeing people in person, you know, coffee. Like, I'm a definitely a coffee, you know, addict, but I love good teas and high-end coffee. But I like trying out different spots.
Is there ever a time where you can totally disconnect from technology, or is that always something kind of in the back of your mind, even when you're trying to decompress and just have a good time with people?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's my decompression, just being able to on a Friday, Saturday, you know, yeah, go out to a good spot where there's, you know, a good experience or food or music. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm pretty much like you. I grew up in Montreal, so I'm have a European vibe, and we love going out and dancing and going to school spots.
Yep.
So it's important to continue that. Like, I'm definitely not, I mean, I'm a bit of a homebody. Like, I love sleeping in the weekend doing that. But then it's also, yeah, like reading, taking that time to like get to know yourself more and the people around you that are important. It's like pretty normal.
Yeah.
It's like what we all do, man, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I do have friends that are like, oh, I've never, like, when's the last time I'll be like, you've gone to like a good dinner or like a good restaurant. I mean, I'm a foodie, so.
Oh, yeah.
That in itself just creates, like, I just love trying out new restaurants and new spots. So I'll like figure out what area I'm going to in LA, and I'll go on Yelp. I'm a Yelp master, and I'll be like, oh, where's like top spot around here that people are talking.
What's your favorite? Do you have a favorite like genre of food?
I like Japanese American bistro at like tapas type. I like French bistro type food, but not too heavy. Yeah.
Many more creative options out there in LA than there are in Massachusetts, I'm sure.
Oh, no, Boston has amazing food.
That's true. There's some decent stuff out here as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about finding those little spots that aren't like mass restaurants that, like, that you feel like there's chains. Like, I don't do the chains.
Yeah. I need to get away from those myself.
Except Starbucks. That's the one chain I do, I guess.
That's everybody's addiction, I think.
Yeah, I know. We're all into that. I spoke to their head of digital, and I'm like, dude, we do something together. I spend way too much money over there.
To talk a little bit more about the Tubathon that's going on, who are some of the people that are going to be on the show this year that you can tell us about?
Yeah, we have Carmen, who, you know, great story of musicians that went from digital to, blew up in the traditional music realm. Mm-hmm. We have youngins like Trevor Moran, who's like huge in terms of like an up-and-coming. No, I think he's like 16 or something.
Oh, wow.
And he has a crazy fangirl following a lot of Viners, the rise of the Vine star, who are now musicians, like getting into music. Mm-hmm. Vine's actually becoming a place where a lot of record labels are breaking their acts. So they'll have like Viners do videos with their music. But a lot of these Viners want to possibly meet musicians themselves. So we have Tay Storm performing, Jesse Smiles. We have Sam Sui, who's an awesome, big YouTuber, amazing performer.
Mm-hmm.
He travels the world and sells out shows. We have a lot of big channels joining us, on stage also, just personalities from like Nerdist and Soul Pancake and Sosh. And yeah, so it's literally a mixture of everyone from, you know, we've the magician Justin Lohman, who's about to do a Comedy Central show.
Yep.
So it's a poo-poo platter of talent, and then even for people who can't be there, we have like fun video messages from everyone from like Stanley Al Roker, who will also be live tweeting.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, a fun event that brings everyone together every year. A lot of coordination for a team that's not necessarily a gigantic network show that's coordinating it, but, you know, it's all blood, sweat, and tears and passion. And that kind of, you know, we like to keep it grassroots, and it's what brings everyone together.
I feel like that should be the subtitle of the event now, a poo-poo platter of celebrity personalities.
Yeah, I know. I use that word. It's very strange.
Oh, no, that's great.
I use it. It's like an appetizer. It has all different things.
Sure.
Things I can't use, you know?
So I don't want to take up too much of your time. So I'll let you go so you can organize all of your things. But thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was fun. And check it out on youtube.com/whatstrending. Also, more info at whatstrending.com/tubathon. And have a great holiday and get back using your hashtag KeepItOn, hashtag go further.
Thank you so much.
All right. Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks again to Shira for joining us. You can find all of her social media links at shiralazar.com. To see everything else that we do, head on over to thegeekgeneration.com. If you use iTunes, please rate the show and write a review. We always appreciate those. You can like us at facebook.com/thegeekgeneration. Follow us at Geek Generation on Twitter and Pinterest. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Night Angel. Send emails to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can also be found on our site. We'll be back soon with more new stuff for you. Later.
Make it so.